Welcome to Open Minds Radio with your host, Alejandro Rojas, former official spokesperson for the Mutual UFO Network. Alejandro has been a UFO paranormal researcher and journalist for nearly a decade and has logged hours in the field investigating the paranormal up close and personal. And now Open Minds Radio presents evidence and the latest news regarding the UFO phenomenon. Here's your host, Alejandro Rojas.
Hello and welcome to Open Minds Radio. We are your UFO news authority. Thanks for joining us. This is our new time, Monday nights. We were Fridays in the middle of the day at noon, but we've moved into the heart of darkness so that we can get to our good buddies who are resting after a long day of work. They've had their dinner, and they're just ready to relax and hear all about the UFO news going out there. And that's what we're going to do. In fact, one of the first things that we do is talk about UFO headlines, because believe it or not, some people don't realize this. UFOs are in international news on a regular basis. In fact, every day we're posting news headlines. So we'll be talking about that in a minute. However, first I want to tell you about our guest tonight, and that is Michael Luckman. This is going to be a fun one because he specializes in rock stars and their ET and or UFO encounters. So we're talking Michael Jackson, John Lennon, you know, the Rolling Stones, Elvis Presley, because, of course, there's been all those rumors about Elvis being out in space and that he never died. And so we'll see if Luckman has any information, if there's some truth to that. But he's written a book documenting his research called Alien Rock. And like I said, that's from Elvis to the Beatles to Michael Jackson to Marilyn Manson. So we'll talk about that as well. How these guys have sometimes even been inspired by their extraterrestrial experiences. So this is going to be a lot of fun. We'll be talking about that in a minute. I also want to thank everybody who came to the Vision Quest Metaphysical Bookstore on Friday night. We had a little panel, a forum with the editors and researchers at Open Minds, and that was a lot of fun. So I want to thank you guys for coming, and we'll be doing that again on May 28th. That's at 7 p.m. at 2225 North Scottsdale Road in Scottsdale. So that gives you guys who are listening to the podcast or who do not live in the Phoenix metro area plenty of time to plan your trip out here to come visit with us. Also, if you're going to plan some summer trips, you'll want to plan one to Roswell on the 4th of July weekend, because that's going to be a lot of fun. They have parades. They have like 10, 20,000 people out there. I will be speaking about Roswell and its effect on society. So, I mean, what is better than that? Lots of cool stuff. So come join us in Roswell, and you can go to the Roswell City website because it's actually sponsored by the city of Roswell and New Mexico. So it's a lot of fun. Join us there. But next, let's get into the UFO news. We have our news correspondent, Jason McClellan, with us. Jason, tell us about the UFOs in the news.
Greetings, Alejandro. Hello, Phoenix, and hello, world. This is your Open Minds News Brief for Monday, May 3rd, 2010. The initiative to create an extraterrestrial affairs commission in Denver, Colorado, is being met with some resistance from a political committee called the Mission for Inhibiting Bureaucracy, or the MIB. How witty. The initiative, spearheaded by Jeff Peckman, goes before Denver voters in August, and if it passes, a commission would be created to investigate claims of UFOs and encounters with extraterrestrials. The Mission for Inhibiting Bureaucracy claims that no evidence exists to merit the creation of such a commission, but this isn't the first time the members behind this group have tried to debunk mysterious phenomena. They have apparently tried to disprove the existence of ghosts in the past, and Peckman calls them ghost hunter wannabes who are desperate for publicity so they can get a ghost hunters type reality show.
Oh, how funny. So that's why they came up with the MIB thing, like Men in Black.
Yep, exactly.
Although, I mean, it is a tough situation. I think what people have to realize is with politics, it's a political movement. So if enough people want this to happen, then that's what justifies, you know, this going forward.
Right.
And people did sign the ballots. I was out there getting signatures. So this was done by the people. So if the people want it, the people should get it. That's what it's about.
And more about Denver's Extraterrestrial Affairs Commission will be featured on next Tuesday night History Channel special, Ancient Aliens. So cool. It'll be cool. They're featuring current disclosure, UFO disclosure things happening currently, and that will be one of the things covered on the episode.
Awesome. Alien, ancient aliens. Everybody loves the show that I've heard. And I've seen it.
I've heard nothing but good things, and I believe it's a five-part series. They're showing reruns, too. But I believe that the fifth episode that will show the Extraterrestrial Affairs Commission will be on next Tuesday.
Awesome.
Pottsville, Pennsylvania was buzzing with UFO sighting reports last week, but a drama club from a local high school has now claimed responsibility for the lights in the sky. Following the club's final performance of the school year, the students released several Thai wish lanterns as a send-off for the senior drama students.
Mm.
So a bunch of those lanterns were lit up, and the officials actually received tons of phone calls about mysterious lights in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
But they turned out to be these lanterns. And, you know, this happens a lot with these lanterns in the sky.
Yeah. In the UK, it's been happening a lot because Chinese lanterns have gotten really popular out there.
And in Asia, at a lot of public events, they release things by the thousands. It's crazy.
Really? Wow.
But when I first heard of, well, not first, but as I hear about these lanterns, I get angry at people because I think, well, you're littering, throwing all this stuff up in the sky. That's litter. But actually, I looked into these lanterns, and they're 99% biodegradable.
Oh, that's good.
In other news, Stephen Hawking's recent warnings about alien invasions have prompted many to speak out in defense of extraterrestrials, including former Canadian Federal Defense Minister Paul Hellyer. In a new Discovery Channel documentary series, Hawking speculates that advanced life forms may be nomads looking to conquer and colonize new planets. Hellyer, however, believes that aliens have been visiting Earth for years and have greatly contributed to human technological advances. Remarking on Hawking's statement, Hellyer comments, "I think it's really sad that a scientist of his repute would contribute to what I would consider more misinformation about a vast and very important subject."
Which is interesting. Of course, he's researched this stuff, and Paul Hellyer, ex-minister of defense, a lot of people don't know this, he talks once in a while, you know, pro-UFO disclosure. He's upset with America holding back information. But it's interesting that he should feel there's enough evidence to show that they're benevolent.
He's very outspoken about it.
Mm-hmm.
And this really upset him. It's great to see him coming out.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to read it. And more discussion stemming from Stephen Hawking's comments regarding extraterrestrials. Larry King's show on Friday consisted of a roundtable discussion about extraterrestrial life, and featured famed physicist Dr. Mikio Kaku and Hollywood heavyweight Dan Aykroyd.
Michio. Kaku.
Yes. Thank you, Alejandro.
Yeah, and Dan Aykroyd. We have a story we just posted on Dan Aykroyd related to not just this story, but his entire history with UFO research. He's got a movie documentary out, actually, called Dan Aykroyd Unplugged on UFOs. And it's amazing. He's talking for nearly 2 hours straight about what he knows about UFOs, and I'll tell you what, I know a lot, man. I had dinner with Paul Hellyer. But this guy, he knows a lot himself. I mean, he's done a lot of research, and he's just going on about UFOs and the history and Battle of L.A. and Travis Walton and Betty and Barney Hill. And if you don't know about any of these things, look it up or go to our website, openminds.tv, and you can see some stories on it. But yeah, he's very well-versed.
He's well-versed on the subject. It's really impressive to hear him talk. He's got a lot of information to pull out. And he is the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON's, official Hollywood spokesperson.
Yeah, the official Hollywood spokesperson for MUFON. And he talked about that a lot on Larry King, which is pretty cool. But one of the other things I thought was really cool is Dr. Michio Kaku, because he does have enough of an open mind to say, hey, you know, some of those UFO sightings are kind of strange. He even said this on Larry King, and there might be something to that. And that's one of the things that disappoints me about Seth Shostak, who is also on there, and the other astronomer, that science is about data. And they're talking about, well, ETs would do this, ETs would do that. But, you know, what we're doing, what MUFON does, is follow the data, gather the data. Who knows what they're going to do? When we go and research animals, I mean, we don't say, oh, you know what, ducks aren't going to fly that direction because why would they do that? Who wants to go to Mexico this time of year? But you follow what they do, see what they do, and then figure out why. You don't assume what they're doing before you investigate.
There's a lot of assumption going on right now, a lot of just generalization, I think, especially with, you know, Hawking's statement, thinking that all extraterrestrials would be the same or have the same agenda.
You know what? I kind of saw some of that show, and someone said they did take his statements a little bit out of context, and they kind of did. He did say there could be a lot going on. He did mostly emphasize that point, but he did, you know, admittedly say that who knows if we'd even recognize extraterrestrial intelligence.
Right, and a lot of what Hawking says right now is it's most likely that, you know, a lot of the extraterrestrial life is like Paul Davy believes, a lot of microbial life and things like that.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is people's reaction. I'm just surprised that people get so heated over this. And you know what? The guy's sharing an opinion. It's his opinion. Let him share his opinion. Everybody has one. Michio Kaku, interesting enough, said he thinks they'd be benevolent because they would be more advanced than we are and probably have gotten past these issues like we have, especially if they were able to survive having this incredible technology. I mean, for instance, 5,000 warheads we have that they announced. I mean, if we don't blow ourselves up, we're going to have to figure out and evolve or at least be mature enough as a species to understand how we can do that. When you have this nearly omnipotent power, and mostly these civilizations must have gotten past this kind of hurdle we're at right now.
It's exciting to see people heated, though, you know, about this topic. And I guess it took somebody like Stephen Hawking to comment on it to get more people talking about it. And it's great to see.
Yeah, I hope there are more people talking about it.
Right.
You know, they mentioned that on Larry King, and even Dan Aykroyd said, well, hopefully this is getting more people to talk about it. And I hope that's what's happening, but I'm not quite sure.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yep. That's it for the news. Remember to check out these stories and more at openminds.tv, your source for UFO-related news. I'm your Open Minds news correspondent, Jason McClellan, and you've been briefed. Back
All
to you,
right.
Alejandro.
Thank you, Jason. And we got a minute left before we go to the break. And so I did want to talk a little bit more about Dan Aykroyd and the story that we posted, because he actually has a whole history of paranormal in his background. We'll ask Michael Luckman about that a little bit after the break. Because he does have a section on here on Dan Aykroyd as well. But it started off with his family. Some people know that his great-grandfather was actually a mystic and a spiritualist. And so Ghostbusters was actually based off of some real research into ghosts that people have done in the past, such as ectoplasm and some of these other terms that they use, the Faraday cage. Those are actually terms that people use in ghost hunting. So That's an interesting aspect, but also just, you know, him having an open mind and coming across some of the incredible UFO cases that there have been in the past where there aren't any answers, and then a very strange experience, and you're going to have to go to the website to read this, where he woke up in the middle of the night, and then something strange and paranormal happened. Go to openminds.tv, and it's the first story there. So check that out. When we come back, we'll be talking rock stars and UFOs, so stay tuned to Open Minds Radio.
You're listening to Open Minds Radio with Alejandro Rojas on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Welcome back to Open Minds Radio. I want to remind you that you can go to openminds.tv at this time and go watch us on our stream. And we actually have that on our radio page. You can click the watch it and you can watch us live. We have our Ustream going. It's pretty cool. There's also a chat there where you can go and ask some questions. So come join us live every Monday night at 9 p.m. And for those of you who are not aware, 9 p.m. Arizona time is Pacific right now. It gets kind of confusing because Arizona doesn't change their time. So sometimes we're aligned with Pacific, sometimes with Mountain. Right now we are Pacific. And let's go ahead and talk to our guest. We have Michael Luckman on the phone. Michael, are you there?
I certainly am. How are you doing?
Great. We're all really excited to talk to you and to talk about rock stars because, of course, we're all rockers, and we like to talk rock. So
yep,
I would.
We sure do. Yes.
Let's start off with some of the rockers and their extraterrestrial experiences. And I want to start off with my favorite, John Lennon.
Yeah. Well, actually, of all the people in the book, I would say I would have to pick John and Elvis as two personalities who among the most well-known rock stars who had incredible experiences in more than one. The most amazing thing with John was, well, first of all, he felt that There were certain things in his life that were unexplained. And he even went so far in that regard as saying that there could be an extraterrestrial connection of an abduction nature, that he might have had some kind of missing time. He definitely related to the abductees. The strangest thing that happened with John, first of all, he did have a UFO sighting up close and personal when he was living with May Pang, who I've interviewed many times, and actually who attended a UFO convention I put on quite a number of years ago and helped me open it. John and May both witnessed an object large enough to carry two people, according to John, that was very close to their rooftop, their penthouse apartment in the Upper East Side in Manhattan. And they said that, you know, he could have thrown a stone and hit it.
Wow.
So he was, May had a drawing in my book in which it's a cone-shaped object with a flashing red light and light on the top and some regular lights around the border. And he did call the New York Post and some other media, see whether anyone had reported it. And there had been a flurry of reports. In fact, it goes even further than that. I've heard since actually some people have plotted like a possible trajectory for the craft based on others who had seen it up in that area.
Now, do you think is this the incident where he probably refers to in Strange Days and Deeds where he says, UFOs over New York? I ain't surprised.
Absolutely. That's absolutely the incident. Now, there's a second incident that happened, and I'm not sure exactly what to make of it, because if it's true, it's just beyond anything else that I've heard just about. The evidence, there's physical evidence involved with it, which is what's so important. Allegedly, John was saw some light coming through the door of his apartment late one night at the Dakota, where he lives with Yoko. And Yoko was in bed and still asleep, and he noticed something, and he opened up the door, and there were several, according to Uri Geller, the psychic, there were several supposedly spindly gray stereotypical aliens. And one of them, and a light that bounced around the room.
Wow. Was this an incident that he had told Uri Geller about, who told you about it?
Yes, exactly. Uri and John used to spend quite a bit of time together conversing at the Surrey Netherlands Hotel. Uri at that time lived up in that area. Now, this was shortly before. What's so peculiar about this and so interesting is that this is right before John's assassination. And, I mean, literally a few weeks before. And they, according to Uri, the aliens gave John an object, an egg-shaped, a small kind of brass-colored egg-shaped object. For what purpose, we don't know. They gave it to John, and John said that he wanted Uri to have it. Now, Uri, I have been for quite some time, in fact, ever since I learned of this and published it in my book, I've been urging Uri to get the damn thing analyzed, because if indeed there's anything to this at all, more than just some kind of a story, maybe John was pulling Uri's leg or something, wanted to get his attention. But if, in fact, it is some kind of an extraterrestrial object, well, number one, this would be worth, like, unlimited amounts of money. Not that it's important to make money off of this.
Yeah.
But more importantly, it would affirm the reality of extraterrestrial visitation 100%. All you need is one something like this, and you've got it.
Did Uri say he still has the object?
He definitely has the object. He's put it on display.
Really?
A number of times in London, yes.
Were you able to see it at all?
I've not seen it. Yuri's not over here in New York very much, or at all, really. But I've seen, photos of Yuri holding it, and I see just exactly that it's, it's intriguing, but there's no way to tell. It needs to be, have metallurgical analysis to find out what it is, how old it is, anything else that could be found out about it.
Wow, I know how important that John Lennon was to Yuri Geller. I know he had said that John Lennon probably saved his life because he was a partier and like he says, not a very good guy until John Lennon kind of shed some enlightenment on him and he changed his whole life around.
John really, it's just too bad because John was living here in New York, but we never crossed paths. And he did spend a lot of time, not a lot of time, but some time in Washington Square Park, where I certainly used to hang out too, quite a bit, but we just never, met, unfortunately. So who knows where things might have gone had we met. John, I devote a whole chapter in my book to, John's, interest in extraterrestrials and of course Yoko's too, to some extent. She wrote she has an album that came out quite a number of years ago called Star Piece, in which she's holding like a crystal ball type of light object lit from within, and she wrote a song about a piece among the stars, essentially.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I knew
yeah.
She's a very eccentric person.
Yes, she is. And also, recently NASA put a broadcast across the universe, the Beatles song, to a distant star system.
Oh, right. I heard about that. I love that song.
And at that time, Paul McCartney said to NASA, or via NASA, he said, send my love to the aliens, and Yoko said something along the lines that this is just the beginning of communication with millions or billions of beings throughout the universe.
Yeah.
So they're into it. They're definitely into it. Paul got very much interested in this NASA thing, which was. By the way, one of the concerts he did that was beamed out to space was from a live concert performance, which is identical. In fact, it's the playbook that I presented in my book Alien Rock for the project that we've been working on for the last about 4 years.
And this was a concert of Paul McCartney's that was beamed out into space?
Well, yes, that's the one that Paul did, but we were working on an even larger concert that was going to be called the Signal of Space Concerts, for which we had, millions of dollars committed, but unfortunately with the economy and stuff, some of that fell through. But we were planning on doing it actually on three continents, including Berlin, and we're going to do it in Berlin, New York, and either Tokyo or India.
Well, cool. That sounds exciting, and you bring up a good point is, I want to get into your background and how you got into that.
Sure.
So before we get into some of the others, we've got to take a quick break right now. But when we get back from that break, let's go ahead and talk about your background and how you got involved with these rock stars and their stories. So stay tuned to Open Minds Radio. We'll be right back with Michael Luckman talking about rock stars and their UFO and ET experiences.
This is Open Minds Radio. Here again, your host, UFO paranormal researcher and journalist, Alejandro Rojas.
Welcome back. You are listening to Open Minds Radio, or you're watching it on openminds.tv on our radio page, which is really cool. Also, I think I forgot to mention that openminds.tv, all the news that Jason talked about is posted every day on the front page of our webpage there. But we're talking to Michael Luckman about rock stars and UFOs, and we just talked a lot about John Lennon, and I wanted to ask you, you talked a little bit about promoting concerts or putting together concerts?
Yes.
Is that how you got into all of this?
Well, no, actually, I got into it much earlier. I had a really as a kid, I remember being shaken to the core by the original Day the Earth Stood Still movie. And that left a great impression on me. When I later published a newspaper here in New York called The Daily Planet, I decided that it might be interesting to start a department dealing with UFOs, even though I didn't really know very much about them. So we started contacting organizations and seeing what photos were available. Now, this goes back a long time into the, this was in the 70s, and the amount of material, of course, is nothing compared to what it is today. I mean, it's voluminous material today. In those days, there was material, but, you know, a little bit harder to come by, but there were certainly compelling photographs and things that were worthwhile. So we started to be in touch with some UFO researchers and stuff. And actually, that's how I met Antonio Yanez, who, of course, is connected with the Open Minds magazine and also works for you guys. He's my right-hand guy, actually, on writing the Alien Rock book. He backed me up on the research and stuff.
Right, yeah. Antonio, in fact, is going to have a story up on the web this week about Chinese UFO sightings from, like, the 1800s and stuff.
Oh,
that's going to be really cool. Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, absolutely. The more it's the kind of subject, as you know, if you've been in it for a while, that it kind of pulls you in like emotional quicksand. Once you're involved with it, there are very few people who choose to not be involved with it. So, and of course, so it was a gradual process. The concerts called the Signal Space Concerts were sort of an outgrowth of some of my other work, including teaching the nation's first college-level course in rock music and the youth culture at the New School for Social Research. And that sort of paralleled the time when I was first getting interested in UFOs. So I've been on both tracks for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized at a certain point that there were an awful lot of rock musicians, well-known rock musicians, who had had various experiences. However, until I actually started putting together the book, I had never had an idea how deep it went, and that it involved most of the major rock icons, from Elvis to the Beatles, the Stones, the Hendrix, Bowie, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Even that quite a number of rock stars had been abducted or thought that they had been abducted, and these included people like Cat Stevens and just a whole list of people. Dave Davies of the Kinks, who had Ace Frehley of Kiss, who had these exotic experiences ranging from missing time to, all kinds of different things happened.
Yeah, we recently put a story up, Sammy Hagar and his experiences and
I was on with David Lee Roth on a morning radio show here in New York that David was doing, and that's exactly why I was on, because I pointed out that Sammy, who I guess he was still feuding with on and off, but nonetheless, he was very curious about Sammy's interest in that, and David liked the idea extremely well of the rock concerts. The only problem with these Signal Space concerts is that they're so damn expensive to put on, and with the economy going downhill rapidly, the individuals who were pledged for millions of dollars, they were here, they're real, they ultimately had to pull out their own.
It's also interesting that you mentioned the Day the Earth Stood Still and how influential it was for you, because that was true of Dan Aykroyd, I know, too. It was inspiring for him.
Yes, Dan was on the other night, by the way. You might have caught, he was on Larry King Live. They had a show with Mishukaku and a couple of other people from the SETI, more conservative SETI people.
Right.
But Dan is, I would say, Dan and I are very close to this, you know, having this very close approach, similar approach. He and I shared a spot on Rita Cosby's show on MSNBC.
Oh, right. I saw that, actually.
Yeah.
I think Bruce McAbee was on there also.
Yes.
And it was
kind
of funny. It was one of those things where she says, weren't there like 5 UFO sightings reported in the last year? Unfortunately, I don't know. I think Bruce McAbee might have corrected her that, no, there were thousands.
Well, yeah, she was very, very interested, though.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, her show got yanked later, but she was very interested in following up because I said, look,
really?
I said, there were literally hundreds of videotaped depositions of former military intelligence people and other people from the Air Force and other similar organizations that have, said that they will testify before Congress, and there they are on video talking about what they know about the cover-up, what they know about Roswell, what they know about this or that sighting that they may have witnessed. And I said, we're in a whole different place now.
Right.
I mean, if you want to if anyone wants to debate the subject, we can debate it, but there's not a heck of a lot to debate. I mean, short of having a landed UFO, we've got everything else.
Yeah, you know, I want to tell listeners real quick that they can call in if they want. If you want to ask Michael any questions, you can call 602-277-5369 if you're in the Phoenix area. If not, you can call the toll-free 1-866-536-1100. But I did want to get into Elvis Presley and his experiences as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and my source for some of Elvis's material, not all of it, but some of it, was an inside source who was a very close personal friend of Elvis's. Elvis had, apparently when he was, first of all, we go back to the time when he was born. When he was born, according to his dad, Vernon Presley, who's passed on, unfortunately, but Vernon told Elvis that that there was a strange blue light over the small two-room cabin in Tupelo, Mississippi, at the exact time when Elvis was born. And Elvis was blown away when he heard that. He was totally blown away. He was sitting in the meditation garden at the Graceland. Now, what's interesting is that that same meditation garden where Elvis is now buried and members of his family, was the scene of another sighting of a UFO, not a blue UFO, but a UFO, and more than once, which Vernon Presley had witnessed and other members of Elvis's entourage had witnessed. Elvis had any number of sightings, quite a number of sightings during his lifetime, and felt that they were here. Basically, that is, the beings who run these spacecraft were here to help mankind. And when he was a young child, according to another source, said that he was visited by some kind of light forms, beings that were in the shape of light forms. And that these beings showed him basically what amounted to almost like a small film clip of a man in the future, which was Elvis in the future, only he didn't know what he was looking at. It was a man in a white jumpsuit performing, and that, of course, was Elvis.
Interesting. Well, you know, we've got a caller, actually, on line one. We have Ronald. So let's see what his question is. Ronald, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, I just started listening to your show a couple of weeks ago.
Cool.
And it's really good. And I'm an artist myself. I draw UFOs over villages. And I have a website.
and you draw art. It's kind of like artwork. Have you had your own signing, or did you have a question for Michael?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
With all these artists coming out and saying that all these artists are coming out and saying that they know the truth about UFOs and extraterrestrials, are they afraid to go on national TV to say the truth about UFOs? Are they afraid?
All right. Thanks for the question, Ronald. So what do you think about that, Michael? Do you think they're afraid?
Well, it depends on the individual. I mean, let's put it this way. Dan Aykroyd, of course, can be considered a rock star of sorts. I mean, the Blues Brothers,
yeah.
All that. He certainly isn't. On the other hand, surprisingly enough, David Bowie, the last person you would expect to be afraid, is turned rather conservative on the subject. Not that he's not interested in it, but, you know, at one time at his height, when he was much, much younger, he had a library of thousands of UFO books, and he was, like, really pursued this subject. And, you know, in more recent years, he's been quoted as saying things like, well, he didn't mean necessarily, he wasn't talking about...
Interesting. Well, we've got to go to break. So we'll touch on that a little more once we get back from this break. But we're talking to Michael Luckman about rock stars and UFOs, so stay tuned. You're listening to Open Minds Radio.
Welcome back to Open Minds Radio. Here now, former official spokesperson for the Mutual UFO Network, your host of Open Minds Radio, Alejandro Rojas.
All right, welcome back. We are talking with Michael Luckman about rock stars and their UFO experiences. And before we went to break, you were talking about how David Bowie was really into the subject and had spoken about it publicly. But now he kind of backpedals and says, you know, I wasn't really into that kind of thing. Is that what you were saying?
Well, to a degree, it's not that he says he's not into extraterrestrials or belief in extraterrestrials. I mean, many people, conservative scientists, for example, say that they believe that there's a possibility of life in outer space. Of course, we've heard that a million times, but they don't necessarily think they're coming here. That's not the case with Bowie, but on the other hand, he's very circumspect and very careful and quite conservative, actually, these days, in terms of playing down the level of his interest in it, because he was like, there was no bigger, in every sense of the word, space cadet than David Bowie. I mean, he was totally into it. I spend a lot of time talking to his first wife, and, she told me some of the episodes, things that had happened. For example, they hit one particular town on their tour in the United States, one of the early tours, and there was a report in that particular area of an alleged crash of a UFO, and he got so excited about it that he talked about it on stage at the concert when he first came out. So he was really, really into it.
So he just came out saying, hey, guys, UFO crashed.
Yeah. But, you know, so Andy had a telescope mounted on the roof of his limousine during his touring in the early days in the United States to look for aliens.
Wow.
So he was really into it.
So he was really into it.
Yeah.
Well, this stuff is really interesting, and I love it. And that's why we're going to have you on again next week. So we'll have you next week as well, and we'll have more time to talk about more stars. But we'll also talk about 2012, because you've done a lot of research there as well, right?
I absolutely have, and I'll tell you something. It's not exactly what people think, but it's extremely important. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it does include, in my estimation, serious physical changes. Even though 2012, the calendar, the Mayan calendar, which started a lot of this for us, is not being interpreted correctly for the most part. But
really?
But there's all, if you just look at the sun alone, according to NASA scientists, there's all kinds of upheaval expected on the sun effects with the sun that could have devastating effects with us, and it happens to be in 2012.
Right, yeah, so we'll talk about that
yeah.
on the next show. And someone asked about Michael Jackson, so we'll fit him in there
okay.
real quick next week. So that's next Friday, 9 p.m. So thank you for being on the show, Michael.
Thanks a lot, Alejandro.
Monday at 9 p.m. Someone reminded me, be sure to say Monday. At 9 p.m. next week, and we'll talk to you next week. However, we have someone on because he has a special conference going on in Washington, D.C. this weekend, and that is Stephen Bassett of the Paradigm Research Center. Stephen, are you there?
I am certainly here. It's nice to be with you, Alejandro.
Yeah, great to have you on. You know, we wanted to get you on to be able to promote your incredible event, and why don't you explain what your event is and why you started it?
The event is the X Conference, which is the Exopolitics Expo, which was first held in 2004. This is the sixth one. It's one of the advocacy components of Paradigm Research Group's work. Everything that PRG does is related to trying to resolve the UFO leaking question politically through an event called Disclosure, which would be a formal acknowledgement of this ET reality by our own government, either initially or after some other government has done so.
And this conference is actually held this year at the Washington Press Club?
Yes, that's the two big changes this year are after 5 years of holding it outside of D.C. in Gaithersburg at the Hilton there. We moved it downtown right next to the White House to the National Press Club, which has held a number of press conferences now
right.
on this issue over the years, or they have been held there, which is great. I mean, the National Press Club has been just a wonderful asset and is pretty open to the issues that can present there. So there have been a number of press conferences. There's never been a complete full conference on this subject matter there. This will be the first. And the second thing that's equally important is that we have set up to broadcast the entire conference live. This is something that's slowly starting to develop. People are starting to figure out how cool this is, and I think it's going to become a major factor in the future once people really get on board. But we'll broadcast the entire 23 hours live and then make the whole thing available in archive for 2 weeks, which is pretty good.
Great, yeah.
For like $24.95. I mean, it's amazing because bandwidth cost dropped because of the economy, because of large acquisitions, what have you, and other technology that's coming in. And so the ability, and of course, you know, the video players are getting better, and media players, so people can really participate in what is an historic event, actually.
Right. You're going to have some incredible people. You're going to have Edgar Mitchell, who was an astronaut, an Apollo astronaut, who actually walked on the moon there again. I know that got a lot of publicity last year.
Yes, it was. Yeah, Edgar will be dropping on by Skype video dropped in on
the
banquet.
Mm-hmm.
But we have George Knapp coming in from Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Very grounded, important person in his field.
Oh yeah,
well,
he's a favorite
he's a
of mine.
Journalist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got Richard Dolan, AJ Guevara coming up from Brazil. Linda Moulton Howe will be presenting on Bentwaters. John Burroughs, one of the witnesses, will be there.
George Norrie. He's going to be
George
doing
Norrie will be there as well.
That's great. That's incredible.
Special presentation on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're premiering a documentary Friday night, which is actually free to the public. Anybody can come to this from 9 to 11 on Friday night the 7th, called The Day Before Disclosure from New Paradigm Films in Norway. Mm-hmm. So it's like the other five conferences, but it's a more advocacy powerful event because we're bringing now the researchers, the activists, the issue right downtown next to the White House, you know, just 14 blocks from the Capitol, from the Congress, in the middle of all the political media, national and international, that covers the Washington, D.C. We're making it pretty easy for them to come to the event, but we're making it even easier because those reporters who are reluctant to be seen in the company of UFO people, quote,
mm-hmm.
unquote, can watch it from their office or home and decide what they think of it and maybe whether they want to pursue it further. So the live streaming will be a part of all future PRG events. and we hope that people will support this.
Well, that's pretty exciting because I know you have a whole international network as well.
Well, yeah, the disclosure movement is going international. This is not surprising. And the presence of extraterrestrials is, I'm sure, a global matter, if anything is. And the West, most of the first world countries outside the U.S. are really a little less inhibited, most of them. And there hasn't been a lot of the truth embargo practice there. And they're more political. I think other nations tend to be a little more politically savvy than America. So exopolitics is spreading pretty fast, which is to say the interest in the general field is spreading, but the disclosure movement is the most important part of exopolitics. So x-conference.com is where people are registering to attend in Washington, or they are registering through there to watch it in live internet broadcast or in archive for 2 weeks thereafter. And we expect a couple hundred maybe online from around the world, which is nice, but
mm-hmm.
I'd like to see that number grow substantially as we move forward in time.
Yeah, I think as we move forward, people get more and more used to the live streaming and as more and more events take advantage of it, which is incredible. And I'm really excited about how you have Edgar Mitchell coming on Skype because that's an incredible technology that uses the streaming. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Yeah.
But is there anything else you wanted to mention about how they could go to your conference?
I think we've got it covered. X-conference.com is the conference site. ParadigmResearchGroup.org is the main portal to all the PRG activities. And we do have another conference scheduled for October called Contact 2010. And people can check that out. It's in the early development stages, but the website is up, Contact2010, all spelled out. .com.
Okay.
And I really appreciate the time, Andro.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
I know you guys are making a lot of progress there.
Yeah, thank you very much, and with your help. So hopefully we can help each other out with this stuff. Thanks for being on the show. You can also go to openminds.tv and look in the event section to find more about the X Conference. So remember, next week we're going to have Michael Luckman on again. We'll be talking about Michael Jackson. We'll be talking about 2012. Maybe we'll fit some other rock stars in there that we can talk about. And for those of you who have not read our magazine, go check out Open Minds Magazine in the Phoenix metro area and in the larger areas. You can go to Barnes & Noble to pick that up. But you can also, of course, get it at openminds.tv. So thanks for listening. We'll be talking to you next week. Remember, you can watch live at Open Minds TV as well. Thanks for listening to Open Minds Radio.
Nothing. You watch your feet for cracks in the pavement. Up above, aliens hover, making old movies for the folks back home.